I want to first just say good morning, everyone. Glad to have everyone here, and that is here. And I know that although there are those who are not seated here, there are those in God's presence and join with you, maybe over a campfire this morning, and wherever one may be, whether in their living room in pajamas or in their workspace, being a part of this worship here this morning at Palmer Church of God. Palmer Church of God. I repeated it, not necessarily for your benefit, but for mine. I know that Father places us in places where we least expect it. And, you know, this is the last Sunday in May, and so this will be year number 3 that I am here at Palmer Church of God. And so I realize how blessed I am. How blessed I am to be here in service, not only to our Heavenly Father, but to each and every one of you. I wish, and this is, I wish that I could, if I had the power, just to take Palmer Church of God and its mindset in the way we treat one another and just sprinkle it all over the rest of the United States. And I'm not going to get on a pedestal of any sort. But I just believe if we could sprinkle just a little bit of Palmer Church of God or the rest of the United States, I think the items that would appear on newsfeed would be a little bit different. And how broadcasters, you wouldn't believe it. People were displaying the love of Jesus left and right. It's simply amazing. This morning, I would ask you to please turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 11. And I'm going to start with verse 1 through 9. And this is Pentecost Sunday. Just speak a little bit about that. There's so many different ways we could speak to that. But Genesis 11, I'm going to read Genesis, and then I'm going to go ahead and then I'm going to skip to John. Now, then I'll be reading from John 14. So if you want to go ahead and give your Bibles to your kids so they can turn it to for you, for the adults, so they know where they're at. And all right. All right. Genesis 11, 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east and found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there, and they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower with its top in heaven. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Verse 7, Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth, and they left building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. Let's turn to John. Let's turn to John 14. John 14, starting with the 16th verse. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Then the Spirit of truth, when the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Go down to verse 25 now. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Father God, this morning, for me, and I speak for others, how great it is to be able to come and to assemble and to worship you, to be able to listen, to read your word, to sing songs of praise, and singing with all that we have. Father, I ask your guidance this morning, your wisdom in sharing your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Back in the day, now I'm talking way back in the day, like back in 1776, all right? The Continental Congress was meeting in Philadelphia and signed that document we all know as the Declaration of Independence. With this action, the American Revolution was launched and a new nation was born. It's ironic that in that same day, King George III in England, in his diary, wrote, "Nothing significant to report today." On the day of Pentecost, some 120 followers of a man whose name was Jesus gathered in Jerusalem, and suddenly the Spirit of God filled each and every one of them and marked their tongues of fire. On that day, the church was born. But there was no historian that jotted down, this day is a significant day. 120 disciples were gathered, just regular, ordinary folk. Just like you and me, kind of. There are sheep herders, and I don't think there's any sheep herders in here, but there were those who sheep herders and
and housewives and tax collectors. These ordinary people came together and assembled and started the church. That same church that still exists today, over 2,000 years. Those 120 people just changed the landscape.
Oh, they had something going on. How did they do it? How did those 120 followers on that day we call Pentecost, how did those followers start? What did they do? And I think they became something on that day. They met a God that they'd never met before. Yeah. They met an unknown God. Those 120 followers, they came in contact with God the Spirit. They knew of God the Father. They knew of God the Son. But the Spirit was new to them. For many Christians, even events of Pentecost, even the events of God's Spirit on that day of Declaration of Independence signed, a lot of people thought that nothing significant had happened. Today is Pentecost, one of the several festivals that are celebrated here in the church. Today we celebrate the coming of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the lives of men, women, and children. Maybe if you hadn't come here today, or maybe if you hadn't turned into your devotional, maybe you might not have even known today was the day of Pentecost. It's a festival that should be revered as much as the other ones we celebrate, like, you know, Christmas, and we celebrate Easter, and but for some reason, this festival is unknown. Why is that? Maybe because we have a difficult time in getting a handle on the Spirit of God. We're not quite sure how to wrap our heads around the Spirit of God. Maybe we don't know exactly what happened on this day. And maybe talking about the Spirit is not appealing. It's not as appealing to talk about as a babe in the manger, the shepherds, and the night sky. Maybe Pentecost doesn't get the same attention because we have not found a way to commercialize it yet. I'm not going to mention any type of business, all right, that their business is cards. But how do you do a happy Pentecost card, you know? Like, happy Holy Spirit, or no, we can't do spirits because we did that in October with Halloween, and it's just not going to work. So, you know, we're just going to take a bye. We're not going to act on that. I can't help but think that if more people would connect themselves, would allow themselves to be connected with the Holy Spirit that is in each and every one of us, how it would change not only our own personal lives, but the landscape. This holiday is important for the church. It's important for you, and it's important for my life and yours. To ignore it would be foolish. It is the same presence that is moving over face and earth when God created the world which we live in. The Holy Spirit was there when we were created. Did you notice in that text in Genesis where it says in verse 7, we will need to go down. We need to change things up. He's speaking of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit has been around. The Holy Spirit just didn't pop in Acts, okay? The Holy Spirit's been around from the very beginning. It is that same presence that took the form of a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. It is the same Spirit of God that walked the earth for 33 years, teaching and preaching and healing and proclaiming the love of God for all people. And now today, it is that same Spirit that is in each of us. It is God's Spirit that should be alive. When people see the Spirit of God alive in us and how it awakens us, it has an effect on anybody else that's around us too. The source of the Holy Spirit is God, okay? We believe in the Trinity, yes. Everybody shake their heads north and south. Just yes, we believe in the Trinity. Yes, all right. Just make sure we're all in the right place. God the Son. God the Father who created, God the Son who redeems, and the Holy Spirit who calls and sanctifies or makes his people holy. God is the one, but at the same time, he manifests himself in three different ways. There are theologians that spend lifetime trying to explain what the Trinity is. This third manifestation of God that we celebrate on Pentecost, that's what Pentecost is about. Jesus, in our text from John this morning, talks about the helper, or in some translation it says the counselor, coming to lead the disciples in truth and to convict the world of sin and to bring God's righteousness into the lives of people who have experienced the brokenness of the world. The Spirit is in each and one of our lives. The power of God's Spirit can't be touched. Nothing can come close to it. You know, power, it can be used in two different ways. It can be unleashed or it can be harnessed. The energy in 10 gallons of gas, all right? If you take 10 gallons of gas and, you know, you sprinkle it, you know, not me, okay, but some people might start a fire like this, right? You know, you take a 10 gallons worth of gas, some people are nodding like, that's where I start a fire, but anyway, you take that 10 gallons of gas and you kind of douse whatever, you just throw the whole can in there, take a match, strike it, kaboom! Now that's a fire, right? Some people are like, yeah, that's a fire. Others are like, oh gosh, you've just described my mate. But then again, if you can take that same 10 gallons of gas, and when it's harnessed, and you put it into a combustible engine, no favorite engine, but I'm just saying, let's say if you throw it into a Toyota RAV4, you throw it into one of those vehicles, into that engine there, and it's harnessed, and it allows grandparents from Fairbanks to travel to Palmer to visit their grandchildren, 37 miles a gallon,
I knew I'd get an amen somewhere. I just didn't know it would be there, but I'll take it where I can get it. Explosions are spectacular, but controlled burns have a lasting, staying power too. At Pentecost, there was an explosion of power. The Holy Spirit swooped down, and through Peter and his awesome message, he speaks, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of it, and over 3,000 people are saved. Now that's a message. And that's not a message that any one man or any one woman can do. It's not something that they possess. It's the Holy Spirit in them that allows them to speak the word of God to have a combustible effect. But he also works. That same Holy Spirit is also harnessed within the church. The Holy Spirit that began in the church back 2,000 years ago and is harnessed to where it's lasting minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, and through the years, the Holy Spirit is the staying power. It's the staying power. Through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have obtained the staying power of God to see us through the highs and through the lows. The Spirit of God comes to us when we make that conversion, when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, and He remains in us, calling us to worship, bringing us to service, gathering us here together as a body. All this happens day in and day out in our lives. It should be. This Spirit is quietly at work in each of our lives. The Spirit is there with you, whether you're outside planting your garden, whether you're at your job, whether you're at home. He's there. The Holy Spirit cannot be contained in one spot. He's everywhere. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. The Spirit of God is there, is with you in all that we say and do. The Spirit brings His power into our lives in a quiet and modest way. There's a story about a sunken ship that illustrates this quietness of how power works. They in New York, they're getting ready to build a bridge there on the East River in New York. I don't know if you're familiar with the East River or not, but anyway, they're getting ready to build this bridge. But there was an old ship that was an old wreck that was at the bottom, and it was right in line of where they need to put those the pilings for the new bridge. And they, as hard as they tried and as hard they tried to just yank it and pull it up. But to no avail, it just wouldn't happen. And then finally an engineer, and I think it was probably a female engineer that said, "Hey, listen, fellas, why don't we do this? Why don't we affix to the hull of that craft that's sunken down there and tether it to some barges at low tide? And then when the high tide comes in, when the water comes in, we'll just use the natural power of the water to lift up the barge.
Yeah.
The Spirit can work just that subtle. It doesn't have to be like that. It can be. God's Holy Spirit is like the tide. It comes quietly. It comes in slowly, but it comes to us with enough power so that we might be able to do the job that God has called us to do. There's a power, a force for many, an untapped source in each and every one of us. We only use a small percentage of our brain. I don't know, like 10%, is it, Doc? Something like that. I think we might be too dangerous if we try to use too much more of it. But I think that if we unharness the Holy Spirit, I don't think that we let the full capacity or the power of the Holy Spirit dwell within us. I think we get a glimpse of it like this morning, you know, maybe in worship. This week, I was I met with some pastors, Valley Pastor Prayer Network, and met with them on Thursday mornings. Every Thursday morning, 8 o'clock, they meet, and we start off with song of worship, and then someone shares a devotion, and then we pray. And last Thursday, this guy on the guitar, he played every song. Every song he played, everybody knew, or at least I knew. Songs of old choruses, and he was just playing it. And there was a lady there. She was singing a soprano, and then there was somebody like this with morning with Dr. E over here. He's over there singing harmony behind me, you know. But in that morning, everybody had their piece that they were all singing their piece, their part, and all of it coming together. And when that guitar player finished his final strum, we just sat there and just, I mean, because my eyes were closed the whole time. I'm not looking up. I'm not doing anything. I'm just worshiping. I'm not trying to cause a scene. I want to stand up and say, yeah! Yeah! Oh, man! I mean, but I went to other pastors, so I'm like kind of taking it, you know, I'm new to the group. And I'm like, But it's like I didn't need to stand up because everybody felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. Everyone said, don't say a word. Don't anybody mess this up. Can you feel it? Can you feel the Holy Spirit just in this room, hanging out with us? The Holy Spirit empowers each and every one of us to live first, pointing to Christ. You got that? Pointing to Christ. That's who it's all about. Not us. God intends us to live in a way that points to him, doesn't point to us about, hey, look at me, look at my accomplishments, look at what I've done. I've established this program, I built this, I've got 500 followers, look at me. That's not the intent of the Holy Spirit in you. I tell you, you didn't do it on your own. Because if you think you did, it's not going to last very long. I'm just saying. The Holy Spirit works with our spirit so that we might experience the righteousness of Christ in our lives. It is the Spirit that convicts us of our sins, shows us that we really aren't as good as we think we are. We're not all that in a bag of chips, okay? It's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. It's not like you've seen in, now these are cartoons from yesteryear when like the angel was on one side and the devil was on the other side. It's like, no, no, do this. Oh yeah, do that. Don't listen to him. Listen. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts. Have you ever like, okay, let me put it this way. I know there have been times in my Christian walk that I've said, I'm like, man, that probably wasn't the right thing to do. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit is like, hello, young man. Well, this is my last Sunday at 58, but hello, young man, come here. Don't you know that I dwell in you and I'm in you and you represent me? And if you think you're going to do that and get away with it, you're wrong. You need to correct yourself. And the Holy Spirit, it convicts you. The Holy Spirit will take you to the woodshed. That's old school terminology. That's time out, okay? When we fall, it is the Spirit that convicts us of our sins and shows us just like who we really are. And we find ourselves at the mercy of Him. Paul says in Romans 8:14 through 15, if you want to turn your Bibles there, or just look at it on the screen. It says, Romans 8:14 through 15, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Is that not so applicable right now? But you receive the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hang on. Let me just share this from Eugene Peterson's, all right, The Message. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your own life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. The resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It is adventurous, expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are. Father and children. It is the Spirit that comes into our lives, into the church, that allows us to spread God's message of love to all people. It is the Spirit which points not itself to ourselves, but to Christ. It is the Spirit that allows us to point, which makes the church, the body, the most unique organism, not organization. There's a difference. An organism, something that's living. Nothing can touch this organism. Nothing on the face of this earth. There was a pastor. Yeah. His name was Russ Bowers, and he's a minister, and he was active in the local Rotary Club in Indianapolis. And each week, a different person would stand up and speak of about their job and who they are. I saw this, and I have to share this with you. Okay, so he says, I am a global enterprise. I am with a global enterprise. We have branches in every country in the world. We have our representatives in nearly every parliament and boardroom on earth. We're into motivation and behavioral alteration. We run hospitals, feeding stations, crisis pregnancy centers, university publishing houses, and nursing homes. We care for our clients from birth to death. We are into life insurance and fire insurance. We perform spiritual heart transplants. Our original organizer owns all the real estate on earth, plus an assortment of galaxies and constellations. He knows everything and lives everywhere. Our product is free for the asking. You don't have enough money to buy it. Our CEO was born in a hick town, worked as a carpenter, didn't own a home, was misunderstood by his family, hated by enemies, walked on water, was condemned to death without trial, and rose from the dead. I talk about him every day. Do you talk about him every day? Come on, I. The Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit its way, when you get out of the way of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will have you doing things that you thought you were never capable of doing, will have you in places that you never thought you would be, talking or speaking with people who you thought you would never run into. My prayer to each of you this morning is that, you know, we celebrate the Pentecost, this festival of when the birth of the church was born. And I just want to see that same fervor that started the church to continue. Because yes, I will perish one day. I will die someday. And so will each and every one of you. But the Holy Spirit that remains in each of us will live forever and ever. And it will not only live in us, but our children who come to know and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that Holy Spirit, that indwelling, it will be in them too. And there's something about the Holy Spirit, when it's contagious. People see that in you, they're like, man, look at that person. What is going on? Yeah, there's
Marilyn, one of those Jesus people.
Yeah. I'll accept that title. But I'm a Jesus person that allows the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of me. That's what makes me a Jesus person. Father God, this morning, I thank you for your Son and the Holy Spirit, and all that the Holy Spirit wants to do in each and every one of us. Father, I
You gave us, Father, this gift, this helper, this counselor. And Father, I know how much better as a man or a woman we could be if we would just listen to the counselor. How much better the world would be. That the crises that boil up, where we are not showing the love that you died on the cross for, is not being shared, it's not being displayed. Father, I pray that your love would replace the hatred that seems to be abound. I pray the Holy Spirit would get a hold of us all and just change the way we walk and the way we talk. Because if the Holy Spirit is indeed in us, we will change. Thank you, Father. In your name I pray. Amen.